to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Carol. Deb and I are so excited to tell you about our new online program, Life Flip. What is Life Flip? Well, it's a methodology which examines your life experiences and builds on them to create the life you want, a life in complete alignment with your higher self. It's like flipping a house, using the foundation and good bones and creating something even more beautiful. Think of it as you 2.0. Some of you may be thinking, well, I have no idea what I want to do. I just know I don't want to be here. Well, Life Flip marries personal discovery work with business expertise, giving you the roadmap to go from where you are now to where you want to be. Whether you're just starting on this path or you're already on it and simply need some guidance, Life Flip can help you get there. To register, go to thedivinebreadcrumb.com, click the services tab, and click on Life Flip. You can do this, and it's not too late. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm Carol.
This is Deb. Welcome back to The Divine Breadcrumb.
Yes, welcome back. Okay, guys, so I am pretty much flying off my chair right now. I'm so excited because today's guest is Jonas Elrod. You may remember Jonas from his show on the Oprah Winfrey Network, In Deep Shift, where each week he followed the stories of people going through deep transformations and spiritual awakenings, and then how they moved through these experiences and how they came out on the other side. And Jonas first came to our attention when Oprah Winfrey aired his documentary, Wake Up, which chronicles his spontaneous spiritual awakening during one fateful day when a door in the veil seemed to open, and for like 11 hours, he saw auras and spirits and angelic beings. And then the film goes on to show Jonas's subsequent quest to learn more about what he experienced. We get to watch as he meets with several spiritual leaders, healers, and it's absolutely fascinating. And with so many people waking up now, we wanted to talk to Jonas about his take on this and also how to help people navigate these awakenings, including children. So welcome to the show, Jonas. We are so happy to have you here with us today.
Oh, guys, thanks so much. I'm really happy to be here as well.
Okay. So first off,
nice intro. Thank you. You made me seem like a regular normal guy, I think.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm gushing a little, but it just had to be done. So, so first off, congratulations to you and your wife, Mara, on the birth of your adorable baby boy.
Thank you. We're over the moon. And if he cries in the middle, just maybe you can edit that out, or if you want to put it into like, you know, the real life dynamic.
Yeah.
Thank you kindly. We're thrilled he's here.
It's such an exciting time. My baby is 28 years old now, but I remember those times fondly.
Ah, God bless. Beautiful.
So for people who aren't familiar with your story, maybe we can give a bit of an overview. I remember learning that you hadn't had any metaphysical experiences as a child and that you were curious about God, but nothing out of the ordinary had happened. And then about 15 years ago, while in a hotel room in San Francisco, you were finishing up some work. And then what happened?
Yeah, that's a perfect setup. I'm from a small kind of God-fearing town out of Georgia. And so you kind of only had a couple different paths for this whole God business. And so I've always kind of chased it as a kid, or at least a preteen. But you know, it seemed like a lot of paths there. So I kind of gave up that search. And like you said, man, 15 years ago, I guess it was then, I was working on a film in San Francisco, and it was the night before a big shoot. And I'm not sure what, I still don't know to this day, but the veil, quote unquote, started getting thin, and I started seeing all this sacred geometry come in the room, different colors, auras, spirits, outlines of people, things that look angelic and things that look, I guess, the opposite of angelic.
Wow.
This experience lasted, yeah, all night and through the morning. And then I had a big shoot the next day with a camera crew filming an event. And I know that everyone's like, oh, this is a drug experience. I may look a certain way, but I've always been very much a Boy Scout. I'm not a drug person. I'm not even really an alcohol person anymore. But this happened, and this has been with me ever since. And that night when this was happening, I was told to expose what was happening. Sorry, I think my my baby's going to make his debut. Hang on one sec.
That's okay.
Everybody. Oh, come here. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So that night, which was February 14th in San Francisco, it's about 15 years ago, I was told to expose what was happening to me. And that's just what I did. I didn't realize it was going to be about my life. I thought it was going to be about the phenomenon. But this was kind of my spiritual path and integration through this incredibly hard film to make. And about 9 months later, I met my girlfriend, who later became my wife, and as of 3 months ago, became the mother of my child. And you'll have to delete it. There's so much to this. But yes, I guess I'll say this. I didn't believe in this sort of thing at all until it happened to me.
Yeah.
Did anything, any of the information that you got that night explain why it was you?
I don't know. I've never known why me. Maybe because I'll be brave enough to talk about this, as you guys are brave enough to talk about it. But I've never known. But it's definitely, it's an understatement to say it's changed my life forever. And yeah. In the beginning, it was terrifying because I didn't know how to turn off, turn on.
Wow.
What it meant. And if I'm just trying to walk down the street to get a piece of pizza, I don't want to deal with 15 dimensions and all this crazy stuff. And as comical as it sounds now, it was hardly a comedy at the time. It was
right.
As terrifying as it was, you know, moments of joy, elation. It was just a real messy pendulum, so to speak.
Oh, I can't even imagine. Were you getting any type of messages that first night?
I was. And the big one, which kind of showed me that I'm not... indeed not a high functioning schizophrenic or that it was real, is my best friend was a man of science, probably an atheist named Rob Brees. And through that first night of having these visions, I saw what I now know is a motorcycle wreck. But 4 months later, my best friend got in a motorcycle wreck coming to meet me. So it kind of showed me that
yeah,
this meant something. And, you know, at his funeral is where I met my girlfriend, who became my wife, who became the mother of my child.
Which you just beat me to my next question. Can you tell that story about meeting Mara?
It's actually Mara, but it's okay. Oh, everyone calls her Mara. Everyone calls me Jonah, it seems. And, you know, Mara's, you know, as you guys probably well know, is in Buddhism. And Jonah, you know, he had that experience with a whale. But sorry, is my baby a little too loud in the background?
Nope. No, it's totally fine.
I'm juggling him and a laptop, but... I met Mara at Rob's funeral months and months after the first wake-up experience. And when I met her, we both fell in love, and we both got together immediately. And first night she moved to New York from Atlanta to be with me, I told her what was going on with me, which was a lot to take.
Yeah.
And, I think she's like, okay, I can deal with this. I'm from the South. I hear stories about this, but in hindsight, I don't think she had any idea what she was getting into, and I really didn't know what to offer her. I didn't know what I was into as well. The big difference between her and I is that she had a choice and I didn't. So I look back at those early days at how courageous this woman was to stick with me, you know, literally not coming home and knowing what to expect or what was going to happen if I was having a quote-unquote spiritual metaphysical experience, or if there were chemicals in the brain, synapses that were misfiring. So when we got together, I told her what Spirit had told me, and that was to expose this. We started recording early on these experiences I were having. My career was as a filmmaker when this opened up to me, and you'll get some real skeptical, cynical people go, well, isn't that convenient? Well, if anyone's seen the film, I sincerely thought this film would be career suicide. The fact that it did as well as it did or went to where it went, I did not think that would happen at all. So Mara joined me on this journey of going around the country to figure out what was going on. Is it a
medical issue? Is it a spiritual issue? And if it is a spiritual issue, what do you do with it? And that laid the groundwork to kind of show both sides of belief and non-belief or faith or, you know, everything that's tucked away with that, with meeting some really mind-blowing experts, not just from the spiritual metaphysical community, but from also quantum scientists. So, you know, it was a pretty accelerated growth period, but that said, it was incredibly painful. So when people say, oh, a spiritual path, it's all butterflies and unicorns, not mine.
Yeah.
but when you start to become aware, you kind of realize it's the only game in town.
Right.
And then, you know, it's after that, it's kind of time to make a choice.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it totally does.
We're glad that you made the choice that you did.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
We are. Yeah. So in the beginning, maybe Mara was a little skeptical. Now, like fast forward the 15 years, does Mara have any of these abilities now, or has she tried to cultivate these abilities?
Mara has her own natural compass in her own intuition. And this is not like a gender ass kiss, but most women are a little bit more tapped into men. So I always find it kind of funny that there's a lot of psychics that are guys when I'm going to see a psychic or a healer, it's normally going to be a woman. Because, you know, women are a little bit more naturally wired in.
Yeah.
Since having a kid, I see her even more tapped in. But, you know, if someone, Mara's kind of the spiritual one of the relationship now. She's the one kind of asking the big question and kind of guiding us by these bigger principles. Sometimes when I miss and not look at it. But as far as, because she levitate or see colors, no, not so much.
No.
But she's great as she is.
I was just going to say, just based on like your posts and pictures I've seen, and obviously in the movie, you guys have such an obviously strong connection.
Oh, thank you.
And it's just really nice to see. And your little one couldn't have picked cooler parents, honestly.
Oh, thank you kindly. No, I think we've done this a few times. And
I'll bet.
You know, it's put some pressure on me not to make the same mistakes. And yeah, she's been a phenomenal partner.
Yeah, that's great. So how has the connection to your guides or angels or whatever words you use help you with your daily life, or has it, or, you know, are you chatting with them every day? Are they here with you now? Like, how does that kind of work?
That's a big question. I hear things, I see things a lot. I have my connection. I've yet to master it, I guess is what I want to say. So I get intuitive hits all the time. It's just kind of like with the practice of realizing what's good and what's maybe not something you want to hear. So I hear things. I just kind of try to go for my gut as opposed to hearing things. I had a hell of a fun weekend a few days ago. A dear family member OD'd.
Aww.
And I got to find that person. But my intuition was telling me earlier, go check on this person. So I didn't hear it, and, you know, it's their own path, but, you know, it's all, I mean, and they're fine. They will be fine, but it's just things are in the air. And I think, you know, judging by your POV, things are pretty dark right now in this country.
Yeah.
So there's never a better time to kind of try to attach something bigger and try to listen to that voice. And you just see it time and time again. Some people would even argue that some of these things are accelerating as a balance because of all the darkness that's out.
Yeah, I can see that.
Or being cultivated or encouraged. Let's say encouraged.
Yeah.
Right. So I think some people are waking up, seeing bigger truths, seeing things aren't exactly what they thought they were, kind of to hopefully shake what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to be a downer, but I mean, I'm definitely an optimist. I just think that these things take work.
Yes. And I think a lot of the work is just, as you've alluded to and said earlier, is processing how it fits into your own life to begin with. You know, to have all this open up to you is, I'm sure it's not what you were expecting 20 years ago, that this was where your life was going to go.
Oh God, no. No, it's almost comical. And I think about what the version of me today would look like to the angry punk when I was a youngster. Really, you're this guy? I mean, I don't wear a white toga and all that stuff, but it's like, I'm definitely seeing a bigger picture to it. But I think all this phenomenon opened up to me so strongly and quickly. If you don't kind of do some internal work, it can be a little bit damaging because, at least in my case, embarrassingly enough, but I've got some distance, you start to think you're special or you start to think you're a victim. And, you know, any given night, it could go either way. So there's no integration of that idea. and there's no balance, and then, you know, the psychological stuff that needs to go with it. So there's that idea that you can be enlightened and still be an asshole. Well, that, yeah. That's very much true.
Yeah. No, that's very true. I mean, Deb and I go to different workshops and things all over the country, and we've seen it. And sometimes it really takes you off guard. Like, well, wait a second. I thought you had this figured out. Why is this coming from such a place of ego?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you expect like the Rolling Stones to come over and kind of mess up the house and you know, clog up the toilet and maybe do drugs. You don't really want your spiritual leaders to, you know, are they hitting my wife? Is that wrong? And I don't mean to make sweeping stereotypes, but I'm going to make a couple sweeping stereotypes. You know, when it comes to this, especially for new people, it's like, yeah, open your heart and take a step in, but you can't take your brain out of it. You got to think that through. And I see a lot of people, you know, some people wake up through pain, right? So if you got enough pain, especially for me, you're not always on top of your game thinking things through, but it's just like any other community, especially with the spiritual one. You just got to don't unplug your brain.
Right. I completely agree with that. And then, of course, whether it's ego or even just the, and I don't, I'm trying to come up with a better word, but the fraudulent practices or the people that take advantage of other people because of whether it's people being naive or people being desperate.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you can't take your brain out of it.
Yeah. And I used to carry unhealthy rage when it came to that. So I can remember my wife making a comment about how, you know, a lot of this community really upsets me. And she's like, you may want to look at that. And so I did. And I realized it's not a huge portion. A lot of this community is wonderful, but there's a portion that's definitely predatory and takes advantage. Mm-hmm. And some of it's conscious, some of it's completely unconscious. That's fine. But it's just, you can't have a Pollyanna approach and just go, it's all butterflies. It's not. You still have to keep plugged in. But it's just like any other community, right?
Absolutely. Right. Switching gears just a little, we're hearing more and more that children are coming into the world with gifts. They're coming, you know, they're coming in already awake. What kind of advice would you give to parents to help raise children that are coming in this way?
That's such a big, important question, and one that I'm not going to have an easy answer for, because I struggle with it, because I get a lot of people reach out and say, hey, I'm just like you, blah, blah, blah. And I'll look at it, I'm like, no, you actually have, there's something slightly medically off. And it's a different way to kind of approach it that way, because there's a real, I think there's such a sense of community or desire for community or to feel different or to feel quote unquote special. And you guys know this as much as I do. None of it's special, it's just unique. Like, you may be a hell of a lot better basketball player than I am, but you're not special, you're unique. Same thing with this stuff. So I know with my kid, he's pretty charged up and he's kind of hilarious. So he's kind of like a battery for my senses, which I'm good. I don't need to see it anymore. I get it. But I know that we're in such a numb out culture right now and things are so intense. And so, and sorry, I'm all over the map, but I'll try to make a point. So even when you ask people about politics, right, which is really a big focal point of what everyone's going through, people didn't even know Trump got impeached.
Right.
But how can you not know? It's like, well, I just don't do politics. And I was like, yeah, but they're doing us. So you kind of have to pay attention. So that idea of just numbing out or I'm not going to look at it is dangerous. And so you may have a child coming into the world and at 7 years old, they're saying things that are making parents have to look at something. So that's the part that scares me, if that parent's willing to look for it. Now, about your earlier point, well, that soul picked that by to be that kid, you know, for those
yeah.
parents.
Yeah.
So who am I to say on that? But I think Mara's advice is probably the best. If you're having these experiences, okay, look at it from both points of view. Get medically checked out. Make sure it's not something wrong in your brain. And also be open to what it could be. And then, you know, this is the blessing of having the internet age and start trying to find people in your local community to help you navigate those waters.
Yeah.
I just don't think, you see, I know some of the guys that did, I think there's a Psychic Kids show and
yep.
No offense to them, but that's just not my cup of tea. And I can sometimes see the eagerness, like my child's special. It's almost like my child gets to be in Home Alone 5. It's like, you know, there's a lot of energy with it. You know what I'm talking about. And I just think that, I know for me growing up, I had these abilities that I'm conscious of now as a man in my 40s, but I dulled it out. And I didn't talk about it because I think I was in survival mode. So I think kids can go through that. And I think that, I think it's a very complicated answer that I'm not making a lot of tread on. I do think about this quite a bit. Like, what does that look like?
Right.
All I can do is with my kid at this point.
Right. Well, it is. It's a big issue.
I think so. I think so, because I think it can be disastrous if you come in hardwired a certain way and you have to push that down. I think it's going to blow up at some point.
Right.
Right.
I'm hoping, and with the work you guys are doing, what I try to do, that people start to see this not as a weird, different thing or as a taboo thing, that it's just something that's always been.
Yes.
It's just nomenclature, right? Like women's intuition, no one's going to argue that. But if you start saying psychic and stuff, they might go, oh, what is that? It's the same thing, guys.
Right. Yeah, we were having a conversation about that the other day, that, you know, the words you use, you know, can have a whole different meaning to people, even though to you it means pretty much the same thing. What I was going to say, because you touched on the show about the children psychics, and I used to really like that show in the sense that it gave the children community. I feel like now there's more children that are going through these experiences, and hopefully they have that community. But I always felt kind of bad for them if they were kind of like the odd men out and getting teased or whatever.
Yeah, and I picked out a title. I don't know if that's a real title or what the real show is. I just know that sometimes when I see in the, I mean, I am a filmmaker. What I see in the film industry, it doesn't always lay the groundwork to be as supportive when it comes to certain ideas. I'm not calling that show out in particular, but just the idea that you are balancing a lot of things when it comes to that. So that's the only remark, not dissing them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I also see with a lot of kids, talking to young adults now, they'll say, well, you know, I was seeing things or hearing things, but basically, you know, family kind of squashed that. So it got put on the back burner because they didn't want to seem like they were weird. And in fairness to the parents, they didn't know how to deal with it. Right. And so now you have a lot of people kind of reconnecting to that, which is cool.
Absolutely. No, I think it's wonderful there's a community so you don't feel like the weirdo in, you know, Boise, you know, in Idaho or something that has one thing. It's like, oh, there's a whole thing going on. That's a blessing. It's just, again, when it comes to these big, big questions and these big experiences, you know, there is a bit of a psychological evaluation that I think needs to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't always see it happen. And I don't just mean for the child. I mean for the parents, like, or just asking the question, what's the intent?
Right. Well, that's one of the things I loved about your documentary too, because you showed all of that and how vulnerable you had to be and just everything you went through.
Oh yeah. No, I got beat up a lot on camera, and my intentions at the time were true as far as I could see. And obviously I could only see so far. So there's a great moment where I meet with a Sufi mystic named Llewellyn Von Lee, and he just lit me up like Cape Canaveral. He's like, basically was just calling bullshit on everything I was saying. I was at the place though. I was like, oh, I'm all about kumbaya and helping others and evolving. And there is a truth to that. But what he was calling out, it wasn't integrated. It was a slogan. You can't live your life by a slogan. That's all I knew at the time, 10 years ago. But like, thank God for that guy. It made me look back and question this stuff.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I do remember that point, that part. And now, so how did you kind of integrate that so it wasn't a slogan anymore?
Oh, Lord. I mean, I didn't think that at the time. It's just, I believe in doing internal work. And sometimes I'm on my game and sometimes I'm not. But I don't think you can just spiritually bypass this stuff. There's a writer I know, had one of the best lines I've heard in a while. She talked about sometimes in spiritual community, people frame, they replace ignorance with enlightenment or reframe it or rebrand it. There's still ignorance. Like, you can't just start at the bottom of the mountain and levitate to the top. And so from a psychological point of view or internal work point of view or removing trauma point of view, you have to do that sometimes. Well, you have to do it all the time if you want to kind of advance or really get into this. But we're, you know, when you're in this fast food culture, you don't really want to do the work. And I'm guilty of both sides of it. But I think really taking stock and looking at this by those words that the Sufi mystic said really helped me to kind of at least start the process of integrating. Because if you see the film, you really see me kind of ping ponging. I'm special. Yeah. I'm a victim. I'm miserable. I'm tired of this shit. And, you know, I have a lot of people that write and go, hey, I want to have your abilities or see this stuff or be this. I was like, watch the first 40 minutes of Wake Up, and this really what you want?
Yeah. So, and I don't remember this from the time you started filming to the end. How long of a time period was that?
Oh, I think it was 3-4 years. You know, this was a great exercise for me because, you know, it's not a coincidence. I'm a director, so that means I have some element of control, right? Or I have some element of wanting to create and control a narrative.
Sure.
none of that applied for this. So it was a really, really hard experience, but we did for a few years, and I thought it was going to end here or end here, and it was not on my watch. It was like whenever Spirit thought. So kind of we knew where I had the biggest shift and the biggest awareness and the biggest, I guess you would say, moments of peace around it.
Yeah.
But that's not something I could have planned.
No, not at all. So I have to ask, this wasn't one of my original questions, but as we're talking, it just made me think of it. What was it like getting the call from Oprah Winfrey or Oprah Winfrey's people about being on her network?
It probably wasn't the strangest thing that happened that day, but it was. Hang on one sec, guys. My lovely wife just walked in. You want to say hi? Wonderful podcast people.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hi, Mara.
Hi.
They've met our son, and we've been just talking about
you. Oh, he's been asleep.
It was strange. I literally thought that making the film would be career suicide, and it was very nice to hear confirmation from Oprah that she dug what we were doing. So it was great.
That's really cool. Well, and I'm so glad she did, because it helped get it out into the world, and that's how we found it. So I
right.
Just really glad. And we learned so much from watching that, your series. So what do you have coming up in 2020?
Oh, I've kind of taken a rest, and now I'm getting ready to get back to it. We moved from LA to Atlanta for whatever reason Spirit had in mind, but that's where I find myself now. And I'm starting a company with a couple like-minded people. It's a production company / studio called Conscious Animal. And the way, everyone asks after wake up or in deep shift, what are you going to do? Are you going to be a healer? Are you going to be a psychic? It's like, no, I'm not going to do any of that. That would be crazy. I'll come talk to you, but I'm not going to do that. But the best way I can be a service when it comes to this is through story. And so we've opened up a company which will specialize in certain types of stories. So the word spiritual may scare certain people off. It can be impactful, elevated, wherever the nomenclature. For me, it's all spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But, the stories run different genres. It's not a bunch of kumbaya people. In my mind, Fight Club and American Beauty were like deeply spiritual films that influenced me when I was a younger person. So we're getting behind material like that and going to get it on TV screens and movie theater screens coming in 2021.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Thank you. So if you want to check out, it's called BeCautiousAnimal.com. And that's what we're up to. And we've got a couple projects that are making the rounds now. And just wait and see what happens next.
Oh, exciting. Yes, we'll definitely check that out.
Yeah. So I have to ask, while you're doing this and getting the production, everything set up, are you getting advice from the other side?
Well, of course.
Yeah. Of course. Great.
Well, it's a funny thing, because Hollywood is just such a crazy idea, crazy career. And what I've done now is I find the person. I don't care about the idea so much. I find the person, then the idea kind of comes out of the relationship. And so we have a roster of 7 things we're moving forward with. Right now we got 6. So we got one more spot open. And it's just doing it that way has been all the difference in the world. Because it's also kind of a spiritual education, or like a fast track. All the egos and narcissism and all this fear-based stuff that kind of goes around with TV and film.
Yeah.
I kind of get to be in that pool constantly. So it's always kind of a reminder and a check. So I think the universe or God, the spirits don't have a hell of a sense of humor. They do.
Absolutely.
They do. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, it's exciting. I can't wait to hear more about this and watch it all unfold.
Well, I think it'll be sooner than later, but we've made some really great artists, and I've got a couple personal projects in the mix, and, ready to get some more stuff out.
Oh, there's going to be people waiting to see it. That's for sure.
Well, it's so funny too. And I don't mean to go back to bigger picture stuff, but it's just, things are dark. Things are really dark. And I think about just divine timing with different things. And, I'm obviously a big fan of and big believer in critical mass. And we got to start putting out things to elevate and try to inspire and light things up. It's just getting way off course. So that's how I'm going to spend my years down here.
We love that. And that's what we're trying to do with our little show. It's just, just put some light out there.
Well, great name, by the way. I'm a big fan of names. And when I saw the name come through the email, I was like, yeah, I totally want to. I appreciate what you guys are doing.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for spending some time with us. I mean, this really has been so exciting for us, and we appreciate it.
Well, I really appreciate it too. And I'm glad you got to hear my son scream a couple times. I appreciate you capturing this. Thank you.
Our pleasure. It's when we first started this and we first decided to do a podcast, we made a list of people that we would really hope we would get to talk to. And you were on that list.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
We did like this written visualization before we even started. And we're like, yep, we're going to manifest this. Yep.
Wonderful. Have you guys spoken to Rob Bell yet?
No.
That guy's great. And he's one of the guys that's doing some really good work who kind of gets the big picture stuff, but also, you know, in a way to make it entertaining and acceptable. And I'm just a big fan of his. He's a gentleman we're talking to.
Okay, oh, cool. Great.
We'll check that out. Thanks.
Well, thank you guys. Anything I can do for y'all?
Carol, anything else? Any last questions? I think this is probably a great place to wrap up.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I could talk to you all day to be sure, but but again, Jonas, thank you for spending your time with us. We so appreciate it, and we wish you all the luck and good wishes with your new venture.
I appreciate it. And this isn't a plug as opposed to just information, but if anyone wants to see Wake Up, you can email me at wakeupthefilm.com. If you email me, I'll send you a copy for free. At this point, I just want people to see it. But if you want to see it for free, go to wakeupthefilm.com, email me, and I'll send you a copy.
Oh, that's fabulous. We will put that in the show notes. Everybody check it out. Take advantage of this because it is a great film. So thank you for that.
Super cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks for having me on, and y'all have a great day.
Everybody, thanks so much for listening. As always, you can catch the show on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and our site, thedivinebreadcrumb.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.